Thank you very much, Mike. It reminded me of a old David Crowder song back from the 90s. You guys remember that? Undignified? Anybody? Yes? I will dance, I will sing, to be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. I will dance, I will sing, to be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. Fun song. I will become even more undignified than this is the chorus. So thank you, Mike. And if I understood him right, I think he's wanting to lead a ministry to Washington, D.C. to dance before the Capitol. Just to bring some joy to the world, you know. It's my pleasure. You guys can go ahead and hit the side fills. There we go. It is my pleasure this morning to introduce to you guys someone who a lot of you know for various reasons. Some of you have seen him when he's been here to say thank you for all that we've done for the school next door. But we get a chance to have more of Mr. Dave Kelly today. We get a chance to have him come up and speak to us. So if you can give him a warm welcome. And David's been next door for about 10 years. He's been in the district for 21, and we get a chance to have his wife, Anna, here with us. So she is up and about, and if you guys remember, we've been praying for her for years. Car accident, correct? That's what caused all the mess. So it's amazing to have her here with us, which is awesome, awesome. So, yes. Very, very good to have you. So I'm excited to hear from Dave. I know from just my interactions with him, Dave is incredibly passionate about these kids next door, and he took that school with that as his mission. For 10 years, he's been there for the kids, and so it's awesome. I don't know how much he's going to share about that, but I know that's a big part of what I've learned to respect about Dave. So Dave, thank you so very much for coming and sharing with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You got your mic on and all that? So.
I think so.
We can't set up our guest speakers before because you can't put the mic on in the mask. So I was like, well, here's the mic. You're going to have to figure it out during communion. So good job. Thanks so much, Dave.
Right. Hey, you're welcome. Nope. I got to learn how to do this now with all the kids coming back, right? The air hugs and the elbows. Well, first of all, I am very humbled and honored and thankful that you invited me here. I'm got to be honest with you. I'm a little nervous. This is my first time. I mean, I've done a lot of go up and say thank you, but this is the first time somebody's asked me to come up and deliver a message. So I'm honored and humbled and proud to be here. So I want to start with, as Dusty said, I'm all about kids, right? So I want to start with a Bible verse, Matthew 19:14. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. And do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Now, I find that phrasing very interesting. For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And what I remember from those passages in the Bible, Jesus had been doing a lot of preaching. He'd been amongst a lot of big crowds. He'd been performing a lot of miracles. And when I first read this passage, I thought, he just wants to hang out with the kids, right? He's tired of dealing with the adults. Kids are cool. I just want to hang out with the kids. And I am so like that too. If I'm having a tough day, you'll find me in the kindergarten room, okay? Because you know what? In the kindergarten room, life is good. Man, we've got nap time. We've got snack time. We get to watch movies and dance and sing songs. And life's good down there, right? So originally, I thought that's what Jesus was saying. Hey, you know what? Let the kids come. I want to just hang out with the kids. But as I read it more and more, and I'll read it again, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." I think Jesus is teaching a lesson. I think he's telling people that there's something we need to learn about from these kids. And I think we can learn a lot from kids. And I think the first thing Jesus is trying to say is, kids, when they're little, think in black and white. I'm hungry. I'm not hungry. And I think as they get a little bit older, it's, this is fair this is not fair. This is right. This is wrong. But I think as we get older and we start to become adults, we start to develop this gray area in the middle. It's called life. It's called responsibility. It's called work. It's called neighbors and friends and social relationships and spouses and all this stuff. All this gray area starts to develop in the middle of our life. And we stop thinking in black and white. And we've all heard the sayings, you know, got to have thick skin to be in business. You know, it's a jungle out there. Hey, don't take it personal. It's just business. So I think we start to look at things from a human perspective and not from what Jesus, God's perspective. I think life starts to create this big gray area. And I think Jesus is saying, hey, sometimes you have to get past that gray area. And it could even be a little closer to home. I mean, how many times do we make decisions based on what's best on our family income and not the income of everybody around us? Or, you know, my kids were all superstar athletes, played in college. How many times do people say, hey, I want my kid to be the star quarterback, so I'm going to go spend a whole lot of money on lessons or pitching lessons or hitting lessons, knowing that the family down the street can't put food on the table? That's that gray stuff called life. We're thinking about it from our perspective. What's best for our viewpoint, not the viewpoint of everybody around us. And I think as we take on more and more responsibility, it gets very hard. So I think Jesus is sending us a little reminder. Hey, be like the children. Think about it from the way I want you to think about it, not what's best for your situation in life. I think there's a second message that Jesus is trying to send, and I think it's kids love their parents without fail. There's no stipulations. I've seen kids go through torture, through little hell, literally hell, and love their parents. I've seen their parents disappoint them over and over and over and over, and they love their parents, no matter what. There's no conditions on it. I've seen one of my, not favorite stories, but one of the stories that I think really sets this home a little bit is I had a girl, fifth grader, actually lives right around here, came to my office one day, and she said, Mr. Kelly, will you call 2-for-1 kids on my mom? I was like, what? That never happens. But her mom was an addict, and she knew her mom was using again, and she loved her mom no matter what. That was mom. And so she wanted me to call, said 2-for-1 kids could come and get her some help because she didn't know what else to do. So kids love their parents no matter what. But do we love God no matter what? When times are tough, when you're unemployed or, you know, the pandemic, you know, things are tough. Do we start to have our doubts? Or is it, do we love God? Do we love Jesus absolutely no matter what? Kids do. But I think sometimes as we start to get a little bit older, we start to get a little doubt sown in there. Once again, life starts to throw things in there that make you start to doubt, make you start to wonder. When I pray, I'm one of those kind of people that I have conversations. That's just the way I am. I'm a talker. And I'll be driving in my car, and people look at me funny because I'm like, blah, 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 I'm talking. There's nobody around, right? And I'm talking to God lots of times. And we get into some pretty heated arguments. He always wins, but we get into some pretty heated arguments. But, you know, sometimes I start to wonder. But then I got to remind myself, be like kids. Love God no matter what. And I think there's a third message that Jesus is trying to teach us. And I think it's, are we really listening? Can we turn the static of life down so that we're really listening? Because I think he's trying to talk to us. I just don't think we're hearing him lots of times. We get so busy, so caught up in stuff that we really don't look and listen. Kids listen, because I can tell you, they're like little sponges. as a principal, it's so funny because kids will walk in my office and they know everything that's going on in the house. They know everything that's going on in the neighborhood. They are like little sponges. They are picking it up from everywhere. But I think as adults, we start to get, we get this static. We're so focused on other things that God's not coming through sometimes. And he's trying to talk to us. So are we really listening like the kids? Are we being that sponge? Can we tune it out? Can we listen? A couple experiences I want to share with you when I think God talked to me. They were closing Elizabethtown School, and there was going to be a school board meeting out at Crosby. And everybody knew it was going to be a tough meeting, right? Really, really lots of people upset. And so as the principal at Elizabethtown, I had to go. It was snowing like crazy out. And I kept calling the superintendent going, hey, are we still having this meeting? And I lived in Mount Airy at the time. Actually, I take that back. I'd already moved. I was living in Wyoming at the time. And I had this little bitty Honda, and the snow was just piling up. And I think, oh, man, Crosby, you know, if you know where Crosby is, right, it's tough to get to. There's no, not like it's right off the freeway. Nope, we're having a meeting. So I show up at the meeting, and the whole time I'm looking outside going, oh, man, it's just getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm starting to get a little nervous. Like, I don't know if my Honda's going to get me back. So I was actually coming down 128, and I came right past here, and I was going to get on the highway, and I was looking up, and I could see that the highway was a mess. And there was a couple cars spun out, and it was getting deep. And if you ever tried to get up 275, that hill's a lot steeper than you think. So the whole time, passing here, and I stopped, literally in the middle of 128, right before I made the turn, because I wanted to get some speed up, and I said, Lord, help me. Get me through this. I don't think my little car is going to make it up this hill. And instantly, I look up, and here comes the state highway salt truck from the garage down there, literally cut right in front of me and went up that ramp. And I got, whoa, okay. So I jumped in right behind him and followed him all the way up 275. I got home. I'm like, oh, my God, God did that for me. I asked him, and he did it. I thought, whoa, that's cool, right? And I've always remembered that. I keep telling myself that story to remember, hey, he does talk to us. He sent me a message. I'm listening. I got your back. Second time that it stands out in my head. Anna had her accident and things were pretty tough. We were right in the middle of a major home building project. We're living in a little apartment, stuff stacked all over. Work's getting tough. Things are going pretty tough for us. And I was starting to have some doubts creeping in. And, you know, I had some of those arguments in the car where I was kind of landing on God a little bit. Like, give me a break. Why me? And then I started thinking about it. And I remember sitting on my sofa one night, and Anna was in the hospital. And I said, are you mad at me? Why me? And the very next day, I'm doing bus duty. And a kid, actually, car riders were pulling up. And a little girl named Gracie, and there's about four or five adults standing there. She got out of the car, and she literally walked up to me and said, Mr. Kelly, I just want to tell you, Jesus loves you. And she ran in the building. That's two. I'm still waiting for number three. But I think God does talk to us. I just think sometimes we're just not listening. Like some days, you know, that could have happened. I could have been so busy. I could have been like, whatever. You know, just a coincidence. But no, because I sat there and I walked back in my office and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I was sitting on the couch last night. I asked him to if he was mad at me. And the very next day he said, no. It's like, wow. So God does listen. So I think there's lots of lessons we can learn from that passage if we really sit back and think about it. You know, I think love God unconditionally, just like children love their parents. Don't let the gray in the middle of life get us making decisions that aren't based on what Jesus would want us to do. Look, let's look out for each other. Look out for the kids down the street. make sure everybody's taken care of. And, you know, things aren't, I know life seems like it's black, you know, not black and white, but do we really look at it from Jesus' point of view? Or are we just doing what's right for our family at that point? So I think we can learn a lot from kids. I think that's what Jesus' message was. Hey, he's our father. We're his children. We need to think like his children. So I thank you so much for letting me come here. And I want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart for all the prayers for Anna. And say I'm very humbled and honored to be here. And God bless you. Hey, welcome. Oh, hey, turn me off, Robbie. You'll be hearing me out now.
Get you in the bathroom? Or...
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Man, man, what a blessing. And I tell you what, if you have a chance to get to know him any at all, he is just... all heart for these kids. And with the transitions happening, he's going to be moving into the Harrison School and helping out there. And it'll be a little more difficult for us to have our connection that we have with them. But we will continue. We will continue to do that as much as we can. And maybe we can figure out some things to continue reaching out to some of the kids that we have been reaching out to because they're partnering with Whitewater Elementary, which there are always kids in need everywhere, but Whitewater's, their kids are not as in need as much as Miami Town. So I want us as a church to continue to reach out to that group, even though they're not going to be next door within the next year. So in a few weeks, they're going to have their, they're going to begin school, and so we've got a number of kits that we purchased for them. We're trying to figure out what we can do. Peg is not here today. And, oh, there you are. Peg McDonald called. They are in conversation. So they're all getting things worked out on what we can do for the teachers on the 4th or 5th to Friday, the 4th of September. And so she'll be getting her crew together. And so we can give those teachers a big thank you for all that they do as well. And... then we're going to be next week. Dave and I are working on some things on how we can do the Pray the Kids Back to School. And we'd like to, I talked to Dave and I asked him if we could include cards in every little kit. And there's 260, how many kids? 265. So Dave and I have been brainstorming about some different things that we can do next week in service. David's going to be preaching, and we'll take some time in the service to do something there, if that's the where we're leaning. So I'll leave that still open-ended because we haven't got any solid decisions yet. So we're looking forward to doing that. So we've got a lot of stuff right now, so it was very good time for you to come by, Dave. In addition to that, we've got... we've got Sherry, who heads up our Christmas Care and Share. And so that is also something that's in the bulletin, as you can read that. And that goes through the school system. That's how we find out the families that are in need. So that is not in direct partnership with doing things at the school, but really it is. The families that we're helping come to us through the school. And we just, I don't know if... all, if we all make that connection, this is another thing that we do for the families next door in the school system. So continue to do that. Continue to keep Dave and his wife in your prayers, and continue to keep the school, the teachers, and all that's going on. They are going to have a really, really difficult time this year with the way that they're having to do things, and some are remote learning, some are there. If they show symptoms or whatever, then they got to go home. Plus, what, the people who sit around them, it's just really going to be an administrative headache for anyone in the school system. So continue to keep them in prayers for that, all that.